I'm joined by Cays Chairman Mark Anderson. We're one season in, the end of the 06-07 season. How are you finding the Chairman's role 1 year on?
Well, it's not quite a year yet. I mean, we didn't take it until August, but both Malcolm Winwright, who's very much a joint chairman with myself, have found it challenging, a real learning curve, but we're making some good progress, I think.
How demanding a role is it in terms of your time? Obviously, you run your own business outside of the club as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just as well I've got some very, very good staff working for me at Anderson Travel Group, because it does take up a large amount of time, both in attending the matches and the boardroom and everything else that comes on with the role, really.
You mentioned Malcolm Winwright in there, your joint chairman, but you're seen very much as the public face. Was that a conscious decision on both of your parts?
No, not at all. And I think you'll see Malcolm of late has come more and more into the picture. I don't know, I think it's a little bit down to characteristics of the two individuals involved, but it's certainly not meant to be a good cop, bad cop, or a front man and a guy behind. It's certainly not that, no.
And the split's dead on 50-50. What would happen if you ever disagreed over an issue? Is there a casting vote somewhere? Or
no, we'd find a solution. There's no casting vote, to be honest. Since August, I don't think we've fallen out about anything. You know, if I've got a point of view, Malcolm's got a point of view, and they're different, then we'll come to a compromise. I mean, we're both old heads in business, so it's you know, you find a compromise, you find something that you can move forward on.
So the relationship works very well at that level. Did you know Malcolm before you stepped into the chairman's role?
Not really, no. No. I mean, the reality was that the club was, I suppose, as everyone knows, going bust. I came along and helped them at the end of last season with some extra money to fulfil fixtures in Surrey Senior Cup. And after that, it was a case of what was going to happen to it. And Malcolm and I got together and we devised this plan for it. At the 11th hour, so it was good, yeah.
Obviously it's demanding in terms of time, so you've delegated some work, you've appointed a fundraiser for the club. Uh-huh. Can I ask, is she on the company payroll, or does she work on a commission basis?
Well, she was on the company payroll. She won't be on the company payroll, on the commission only going forward. She's found some work, Lisa's found some work elsewhere, which will be taking up more of her time, but she'll still be involved in some fundraising activities for us.
In terms of what she's done for us so far, do you think she's offered value for money, for the money you've invested?
If you look at the soccer school, if you look at other bits and pieces she's been involved in, yeah, it was a very, very tough role. It was a very, very tough role for someone to take on. I've gone on record, I think I've said it already in programme notes, the politics at the back of this football club have got to be seen to be believed. There's only 300 of you, and you're in about five different sets of organisations or affiliations, and it really is difficult. If we'd have employed the Pope as a fundraiser, he'd have had a struggle. But you know, we've made mistakes such as Valentine's balls, or what was it, blind date, for God's sake. You know, they were mistakes, we accept that, but what we have to do is stop depending so much on Malcolm and myself and find some additional revenue streams.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about the Valentine's ball, actually. In my opinion, it wasn't the best of ideas, but regardless of that, I think it was poorly marketed and the target audience was ambiguous at best.
To be honest, it was not right, and it should never have even got off the drawing board. But
like you say, you learn from your mistakes. Have you sat down and sort of put safeguards in place so that won't happen again?
Yeah, I think we have. I think you can forget about a Valentine's ball or a blind date at Kingstone. You know.
If I can ask about our landlords, how's the relationship with AFC Wimbledon at board level? It's obviously not quite great at fan level, but how is it at board level?
At board level, it's okay. Yeah, we have a working relationship. We get on okay with them. They seem to get on okay with us. In fact, Eric Samuelson was saying how well things were going when I spoke to him last week. So that's good. There are issues, of course. I mean, the issues of the pitch. Issues of And it'll remain to see if we become successful. It will be remain to see how that relationship develops. It's quite nice for Wimbledon to pat us on the head and tell us how good we are when we're in Rhyme, you know, the nether regions of Rhyme and One South. What will happen if we start to perform? But again, I'm sure we can come up with a working relationship.
And what did you make of the reduction of their points deduction when it was reduced on appeal down from 18?
What did I make of it? Was I surprised? No. If I was a member of the Ryman League, would I feel that I'd been hung out to dry? Yes. But, you know, power and talks. And it was a nonsensical rule in the first place, but I can't think of many other clubs that have got it overturned like they had.
I was going to ask you, do you think the same would have happened if another club? Presumably you don't think so.
No, absolutely not at this level. Not down in the Ryman League. Absolutely not. I mean, the people I feel sorry for are the management committee of the Ryman League, because they followed to the letter what the FA had told them to do, and what the FA had told them to do was wrong in the first instance. Now it was a silly, draconian implement. You know, not implementation, but law in the first place. But to be fair, all the Ryman League did was follow what they'd been told to do by the FA, who then reneged. So.
While we're talking about AFC Wimbledon, it seems natural to move on to Kozler. Are we finally rid of him? He's not entitled to any future profits or anything like that at all?
No, he's not. No, not as I can see. I haven't heard from him, spoken to him, had any dealings with him at all. So, no, I'm fairly confident about that. But, you know, an appendicitis or a niggling appendix never ever goes away completely. So let's hope.
Yeah, moving on, hopefully. On the pitch, this time last year I interviewed you and you said that you expected promotion at a minimum for this season. It obviously didn't go quite to plan. Why do you think that was?
Didn't go quite to plan because of the team we put out and the way we put it out in the early part of the season up to Christmas. And we were shocking at times. And that's it in a nutshell, really.
Do you think you left it too long before changing the manager?
No, I don't think we did. I think we have to show some sort of loyalty to people. I think Stuart, I mean, you know, I can see certain instances being turning points in the season, 2-1 up against AFC Sudbury, them down to 10 men. We've got 10 minutes to go, and then we concede two against 10 men and have another man sent off. So, you know, and then throughout that we were dreadful, but it was 1-0, 1-1, 2-2, something like that, 0-0. And I think we had to make sure that we wanted to get the right man too.
We parted company with Stuart shortly after you backed him in the local press, a vote of confidence. It's never an easy decision, obviously, but was it even more difficult given your relationship with Stuart outside of Kingstonian?
Yeah, Stuart and I are business colleagues. He worked for a bank that used to finance some of our coaches. That's it. You know, anything, again, you've got to be careful what the press, you know, the press read into things and say things. You know, I never gave Stuart a public confidence, round of confidence or anything. I mean, the reality was that, you know, press, sometimes they just make things up for the sheer heck of it, you know, and you've got to understand that.
Just before Stuart was sacked, I can't remember if it was after his last game, but you went into the changing rooms and you gave the players a dressing down yourself. Do you think that might have undermined the manager at all?
No, not at all. I mean, what I asked before the game, and it was at home here against Croydon, and I asked if I could go in, and he said, fine, no problem. And to be, you know, at half time, he asked me to say something, so I told him as I saw it, and we didn't lose the second half, which was quite nice. But it certainly wasn't anything to do. Stuart didn't lose the job because I'd been in the changing room. All it did was emphasise the fact that the changing room was a was lost, unfortunately. And we took action after that.
Mm-hmm. With hindsight, do you think that we should have stuck with Ian McDonald? This time last year, we finished a point off the playoffs and we had the Saracenia Cup in our trophy cabinet.
Yeah, you know, again, it's a fallacy to say that Ian was sacked. Ian certainly wasn't sacked. He just wasn't offered another position at the club. And there were reasons for that, and I don't want to go over it. I really don't want to go. I don't think it gives us anything to do that. Personally, I feel that, you know, I was given a choice between the team that won the Surrey Senior Cup and Ian. And the Surrey Senior Cup team came up on top, but then they did nothing but let us down for the whole of the season. And that's why I feel a little bit mugged. And both Malcolm and I were talking about it the other day, and we do feel a little bit mugged by the team that did so well at the end of last season, or won the Surrey Senior Cup last season. And then, quite honestly, they were ruddy awful this year. Now, it could be that a team meets its natural conclusion. You see it at every level of football. A team comes up and plays and plays, and then it reaches it. And perhaps that natural conclusion was the Surrey Senior Cup win. But after that, you know, anyone, you know, you can name the names, look at the players that were there at the end of last season and how they performed this season, and it's obvious they were just dreadful compared to what they had been.
Mm-hmm. Since then, you've appointed Alan Dowson. Personally, I've been really impressed with him since he's come in. I think he's the right man for the job. How different a season do you think we would have had he been in charge back in August?
Well, if you're asking me questions like that, I should be bloody winning the lottery every week. The reality is that he's been an absolute breath of fresh air. I think it was important. One of the things we wanted to do was recruit somebody from outside of Kingstonian, someone that comes with fresh ideas, a clean approach, and, you know, he has been a breath of fresh air since he's been here, with Mark Hams and with Martin Tyler when Martin can get here. You know, it's actually a pleasant thing to be around there.
Mm-hmm. I think, like you say, he's the first manager in a long time who hasn't been previously a number two to a different manager here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got to understand, and, you know, it might take... This club has got some serious issues on and off the field. You know, I think it goes back to the trophy wins and then being let down and you know, the administration, the over finance, etc. And, you know, I suppose I'm new to it, so I'm not coming with all of that baggage, and neither's Dowson. And Alan, you know, he's bringing his own new ideas in, he's bringing his own people in, and it's good to see. And it's also good to see, you've got to mention it, some of these young lads getting a chance. You know, it's just fantastic today to watch some of the fruits of Kingstonian youth coming up and through and in. And long may that continue.
Mm-hmm. What do you think are realistic targets for next season? Promotion at a minimum?
Yeah, right. Yeah, thank you very much. No, I'm not going to say anything like that again, ever. I'm going to say, let's hope this time next season we're not having a game that doesn't really mean anything. Let's hope it's very, very important today.
Mm-hmm. And how does the relationship work between chairman and manager? Do you give Alan a budget and then he gets on with it and goes away and signs who he wants on whatever wages or
decisions? By and large, yeah. That's it. Yeah. He has a budget to work to. And he brings in who he feels that he needs to bring in for that, you know. And he's got contacts throughout football, so that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
I spoke to Mark Hams after the Molesey away game, and he said that he and Alan had been at Kay's watching the home fixture against Molesey back in December. Mm-hmm. Had the decision already been made at that stage to replace Stuart with Alan and Mark?
No, not at all. I mean, that Alan had been, he's interested in non-league football. I think when he finished with Walton, he went to a lot of clubs, and he went to just more than us against Molesey. I think he saw us at you know, he saw us against Croydon that very day we were talking about. He said he was there. So it had nothing at all to do with that.
No. The press release did come quite quickly between Stuart leaving the club and Alan being appointed.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Shall I move on?
If you'd like.
If I can move on to the supporters then. You're given supporters' representation on the board, which is a first this season. Is it just a PR exercise? I'm assuming there's no voting rights attached to the role.
No, you see, it's certainly not. If anyone knows Vicky, she wouldn't sit on there if she thinks that we're just paying lip service to anything she's got to say. Vicky is obviously the supporters' club rep. No, it's absolutely vital that she's there, and she, rest assured, you know, she don't take any prisoners. So it's good. It's good.
And what about the fans? You criticised us in your programme notes way back at the beginning of the season because only 18 turned up at a youth game. Given the reaction that provoked, do you think that was an ill-advised comment?
No, I don't really, because I think sometimes you're a little bit touchy about yourselves as well. I mean, I've seen some of the stuff on the website, you know, someone from Cray said that someone had said something when a player got injured and you're all up in arms, and, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and you know, sometimes I think we are a little bit sensitive. I don't know if that's a Surrey thing or whatever, but, you know, we are. The reality is that in terms of my criticism of the under-18s or the attendance there, we were told in no uncertain terms that if we played back in the borough and not way down in Dorking, then more and more people would come and watch. And the reality is that I was disappointed that the first time we had a game there was only 18. And that's it, really.
Sticking with the supporters, you mentioned sensitive issues in there. I'll tackle this one. How did you enjoy last night's game against the supporters?
I enjoyed it immensely. I thought it was great. I thought it was just what this club needs. I mean, we raised £230 for the physio, Steve Snelling's equipment and lotions and everything else. So that's absolutely fantastic. The players, some of you that you don't know is, but the players paid Collier's Wood for the pitch. So the first team squad paid out of their wages to pay for Collier's Wood's ground last night. And then I think we all paid a fiver, the staff, and I think you guys paid £3 or whatever, and then we had the raffle as well, and I just think that's just fantastic. That's what we should be about, you know. And there was some criticism levelled about playing that game. Amazes me sometimes. But anyway, we move on.
But no, it was a great evening last night. And I think events like that help bring, like you say, everyone at the clubs together, which is exactly what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've got to start doing that sort of thing again. It's tough because we don't own our own ground or have our own facility. I mean, but it's exactly what we need.
So where do you see the club going? Not necessarily on the pitch, off the pitch as well, both in the short term, over the next 12 months, and longer term?
Well, I'd like to see some entertainment. I'd like to see some challenging for promotion. I'd like to see some more gates, people through the gates. I'd like to see some of this, the factions that exist here off the field, actually saying, right, you know, let's try a bit of entente cordiale around here and getting together, and that's what I'd love. Yeah.
Where do you think, there's been some debates on the website over the last few weeks about where our natural level is. Where do you see K's at their natural level? Conference or Conference South?
Conference South should be the natural level.
You think that's attainable with the team we've got at the moment?
No.
Not the playing team, the managerial team. You think we
managerial
can get
there with Alan? Teams, it's possible, yeah. But, you know, there's so much work to be done. So much work to be done. But Kingstonian should be sort of Conference South. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.